fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
First shot goals, yeah, they will kill the hopes of a playoff run for the Flames this year. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. Kyle, I'm surprisingly in a pretty good mood today, considering what we've watched over the last few weeks slash months.
I'm not, but you already knew that.
I know, I've already mentally prepared myself. This is probably going to be our most argumentative show ever.
Possibly. Also, the least amount of prep work we've ever done, because the only preparation we did this time was a couple of angry texts back and forth and a brief phone conversation. So this will be live and uncensored.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote down like what we needed to address, I guess probably is the best word. But beyond that, it's like, I don't know. I mean, we do these shows every week and, you know, try to talk about the same stuff, but it seems like it's the same stuff. Only now, based off deadlines, whether it be the NHL trade deadline or the playoffs coming up close, like, we're going to have some answers here. Whether we want that answer or don't want that answer, we're getting it. So,
it's kind of annoying because every other team already has some semblance of answers. It's been, what is there, two teams, Calgary and one other, that haven't made a single deal this year?
There's three. There was three. Philadelphia. No. Was it Philadelphia? Los Angeles was one of them until yesterday.
Oh, man. Is that ever something, too, eh? Jonathan Quick is pissed.
But what does he expect? I hate to...
what he expects, I think, whether it's right or wrong, is, you know, some semblance of loyalty and,
they gave him 9 years.
How about Ryan Whitney tweeted earlier? Yeah.
How about they give him?
Ryan Whitney tweeted earlier about, Dustin Brown got a statue and, Jonathan Quick gets traded to Columbus.
Well, that is a little jacked, but.
I agree with you.
So Rob Blake doesn't make that move. And Phoenix Copley sucks in round one. What then?
You know, it's a bold move. You know, I don't have an issue with it at all. I think
it's the right move.
Yeah, I think players thinking they're untouchable or owed a certain thing is a little bit ridiculous. Obviously, Columbus has no vested interest in Jonathan Quick apart from maybe a bit of a mentorship role, or they're probably going to flip him like Frank Cervelli suggested, but the first-round pick was obviously the key to it. But it's just, the point, is that every other team has a seemingly clear direction. Even like Nashville, who's sold a bit but still isn't completely out, like I kind of admire that, and that's where I'm starting to think more and more maybe the Flames need to go. It's like, hey, if there's the right trade is out there, you make it. You just can't stand pat because, you know, assets are diminishing. The season is almost lost at this point, I would argue, which we'll get into, of course. But it's one of the only teams we don't know what they're doing yet.
That's the frustration. I mean, I honestly can't wait till deadline day is over. I think the frustration is just the unknown. I mean, we hate to know. Yep. You know, we thought we knew a direction. And I heard somebody say this week that they think that Calgary is in a state of disbelief. And I think we are. I think we are as a fan base. I think we are as a team. I think we are as everything, because I don't think anybody saw this coming. But you know what? I've learned in this world that, you know, shit happens, man. And I mean, it is frustrating. But I also think that this isn't a time to, like, burn down Calgary here. Like, I mean, we've had a ton of goaltending issues. And, I mean... Is everything perfect besides the goaltending? No, it's not. And I'm not trying to make it out to be that way, but we get some saves. We don't let in 9 or 8 or whatever the hell the number is, first shots in a game. This season is tremendously different. It's tremendously different.
If that had happened, right?
And it didn't happen. But that doesn't mean that this is going to continue for eternity.
No, but I think the team still needs to look at possible personnel changes with, well, one of the big things yesterday, well, more recently in general, is talking about changing the goaltending, the coaching staff for the goaltenders.
I hate firing people, but I almost think that that'd be a start.
Yeah, I'm thinking more and more so as well, because these guys are both are just far too talented to be this terrible. But at the same time, like I mentioned this to you yesterday, I think about like when Brian Elliott was in Calgary and he had a great regular season, he was terrible against Anaheim in the playoffs, and they moved on from him. Now, that was a UFA, so that was a lot easier, but I'm not opposed to moving on from either of these defenders at this point, just because I think if they're right, it won't happen with Markstrom, I'm sure, but if there's a good deal out there and you have an A-list prospect like Wolf, there's lots of goals that they might try. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. It just, and part of that's my frustration with how terrible they've both been. But like I said at the outset, I mean, there shouldn't be any deals that aren't considered. And I do think there's a lot of conjecture about guys like Lucic, Lewis, and those savvy vet types. Trade them. Somebody's going to overpay somewhat for one of those types of players, and if you can, trade them.
It's going to be interesting. One of the things we're talking about today on the show, today we got to recap 4 games, 3 road, 1 home, 1 win. Ugh. Some Flames news, yeah. Goaltending, like we're just talking about now, Zadorov, I want to talk a little bit about Walker Duehr and Jacob Peltier just very shortly today. We touched on Shillington. And what should the Flames do at deadline is definitely going to be a topic. And then when are we dead? When are we going to actually, like, say, all right, the playoffs are out of the question? I felt like I've been there a few times, but then I keep looking at the standings, and I'm like, we're not. We got 4 games to preview, 2 home, 2 road. Where does this team go? I have no idea, but I do know that we got to talk about them for an hour here on Flames Unfiltered. All right, let's rewind the clock back to last Wednesday. And we're not spending much time on this because I feel like these games were a month ago. I just
did. There's not really much else we can say we haven't said in the past about the way these games played out either, really. So,
Calgary in Arizona. We get out to a 1-0 lead after one. Then, boom, 3 in a row from Arizona. We're down 3-1. And then all of a sudden, this team decides to play. We get goals from Lindholm, Toffoli, Peltier, Duehr, Backlund. Boom. We win 6-3, 51 shots on net to 14. In a game that I felt pretty damn good about after it was done. I really did. And
except for allowing 3 goals on 14 shots. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's brutal.
It has been I don't even know what you even call it anymore. It's
29 other teams. I'll guess that's going to be a shutout game. That's absurd.
I know. And that's why I look at this and I keep struggling even more, because it is just one aspect, and I'm not saying we don't have other problems, but it's just that aspect is very glaring right now. Thursday, yeah. We go back-to-back in Vegas, and shots 28-29. I thought this was a pretty good hockey game, to be honest with you. Vladar gets the start. Calgary gets up 2-0, and, you know, we just let Vegas hang around, and they end up winning the game on an overtime goal that Backlund. Well, was a bad change by Backlund, but I'm not ripping on him. He's been the heart and soul of this team. He was our only good player in the Edmonton series last year. He has been consistently good all season. I'm giving him a pass on this one.
Yeah, he should be a captain. We talked about that last week, I believe. Like, he should be captain of this team. I'm not to go down that hole, but I'm not a fan of not having a captain, and I think he has proven all year that that's the letter he should have on his chest. But yeah, I thought about Sergei Kostitsyn years ago in a Nashville playoff series making a terrible change that led to, I think it was a winning goal. And there was kind of some shades of that. This wasn't a playoff game, mind you, but it may as well be for Calgary.
It was this year.
Just a really, really stupid play. But I mean, everybody makes them. It happens. But that's the other thing apart from goaltending is some monstrous individual errors the last few games, including one last night that ultimately cost them the game against Boston. So the Vegas one, though, that was really tough to swallow.
It was, you know, I thought it was the game we were going to get 2 points, and boy, you know, you put that with the Arizona win, and boy, things are looking pretty good. Saturday night in Colorado. Colorado gets out to a 2-0 lead, 3-0 lead, actually. Calgary fights back, gets one more. This is just another one. You know, Markstrom gets a start. Pucks go in right away.
Yep.
Was it the first two shots, or it was the first shot for sure?
First shot. I can't remember on the other one. I mean, I honestly very quickly paid less and less attention to that game.
I didn't think we played that bad. Like, as a team, I don't think we played that bad. But you can't spot teams 2-goal leads every freaking night and expect to survive.
So that's exactly what they do, right?
You just can't do that. And then let's go forward to last night's game. Boston's in Calgary. And Boston gets out to a 2-0 lead. First shot, first goal. And yep. Calgary was dominating, and then they come down, and I don't even think it was like a, I'd say it's a B-level chance, and a very stoppable shot, and it goes in the net, and it looked like I could have done as well. And then I think it was a 4-shot went in too. Calgary outshoots Boston 57-19. I thought played really good last night. Honestly, I was upset that we lost, not pissed, because I look at this and I'm like, freaking played good. What else could you ask for? We played good.
The result's the same thing that every other team seems to get when they play good.
But you can't. If you don't get good goaltending, you can't win in the National Hockey League. You just can't. True.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a team game, and that's a problem that the team is not addressing, whether it's by, you know, well, neither one's been good to start. We mentioned goaltending, coaching, like, it's just...
Well, what do you do? Okay, what do you do last night if you're Daryl Sutter? You're like, well, shit, he didn't stop it either. So, I'll put Markstrom in. Markstrom looked really good last night, I thought. He made an unbelievable save late in the game. Was that an overtime. He made that...
I think it was overtime.
Right leg.
You can't fault him. I mean, who would have thought that that would have been the better bet to start, apparently. But the same thing in that game. And I was so, so angry at Zadorov for that horrific decision to try and throw that open ice hit. It was the dumbest thing he could have possibly done. Like, he just, you know, he...
Did you see what his quote today was?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
This angers me even more. This dude is oblivious to his shittiness.
He blamed himself for the Colorado loss.
He did. He did. But last night he goes out of his way, and I love his big hits. I love that aspect of his game.
Early in the game was fantastic. That set the pace
for how
well the Flames played.
But you have to pick your moments, right?
Yeah.
We're in overtime, and he steps up into a guy, takes himself completely out of position. This was not an overtime.
No, it was when he took out Mangiapane as well.
This is when he took Mangiapane. In the third period, that's all a blur now. And they scored to tie the game because he took himself out of position. And then in his quote today says, well, we had two or three, you know, grade A chances in overtime and we need to bury those. Yeah, we need to bury those, but we wouldn't be in freaking overtime if you wouldn't have been an idiot.
Yeah, it was the dumbest play I've seen from him probably this season. And there's been a lot of people like lauding him, saying, oh, he stepped up and been so good. And I haven't seen that. I mean, I think he's played admirably most of the time, but.
I think the first half of the season, first third for sure, he played way over what I thought he would be able to. And he was really good. And I was very happy with him.
He's a guy that I'd look seriously at moving for a decent offer for Friday. He's on that list. Honestly, and I'm sure some people would disagree with me because I think he's going to rebound next year, but Mangiapane, like, I think you listen to, you know, whatever's out there on him. And I'm not saying that these are, you know, necessarily the right moves, but in terms of how these games of district cap went, I mean, they are so far from where they need to be. Their goaltending is horrific. It hasn't won them a single game this year that I can think of, maybe one in the fall. How much longer do we do this?
Like, what do we do? Well, what do we do?
You listen to offers because your season's you asked this question earlier.
I think they are listening to offers. Don't you think they're listening to offers? I think Brad for Living always is.
But I'm going to tell you right now, in my opinion, this team is done. They're absolutely done this season. They are not making the playoffs. And I would love to be wrong about that, obviously, and I hope that I am. But they have Their goaltending is atrocious. It is costing them game after game after game, and it is so frustrating.
And at this point, I refuse to believe that they're done yet, and this is where we're going to argue. And there's a couple reasons. I'm going to try to justify it, and you might tell me I'm crazy.
I look forward to it.
Both of these goaltenders are better than they're playing. And this isn't a physical problem. This is a mental problem.
Seemingly, yeah.
I mean, you just don't forget how to stop the puck this bad without it being between the ears.
And so how does that get fixed from the last game and the last game? Like, when does it get better? Because it hasn't yet.
And this is maybe where we argue. I always look for changing points in athletics or life or whatever. And I'm not saying that Jacob Markstrom is going to be great now. I would probably say the Vegas odds would say that this continues for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I believe that. But I always look at marker points, right? Okay. Him and his girlfriend or I'm not sure really what she is right at the moment. I don't believe they're married.
No,
I don't. But it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. But anyways, his partner and him just went through a pregnancy. And there's a million players, and you said it to me last night, there's a million players that have kids. And I totally agree. But we just don't know the situation. I had three.
No, like I said before, like when his father passed away a few years ago, that must have been absolutely agonizing for him.
I mean, and my wife and I have had three kids, and it's funny. I'll be honest with you. My wife actually texted me and said, "Hey, Markstrom had his baby. Maybe that'll take some of the family stress off, and he can be a better goalie." And the only reason I would agree with that is that we just don't know how the pregnancy went, whether, you know, there was, you know, we just don't know. But sometimes when it's done, and I am speaking from experience, when you're holding your child and it's like, now they're healthy and now that's over, you know, maybe it's a reset button where he can get back to the rink, have that behind him, and now he can be excited to go home to see a happy new little baby and be, it can just be a mindset change for you that could affect your work. Because let's be honest, like, these guys are human beings like me and you. And I know it changed me when that stress went off of me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that this is a save all. I'm just saying it is a marker point. And that last night he came in really cold and had minimal shots, but did good.
Yeah.
But did good. I don't blame the overtime goal on him. That we had two guys chasing behind the damn net. That, you know, I don't know. Yes, you know, you can say to me, "Brad, you're grasping for straws." And I am. I totally am. But don't we do that in sports? Like, don't we do that? But I see I see some of the stuff that people are posting, and it's like, holy shit, you guys. Like, really? Like, you want to trade the whole freaking team away? Like, are we all of a sudden, it's everybody sucks. Treliving sucks, Sutter sucks, the ownership's shit. Everything sucks all of a sudden. And,
well, the ownership has been kind of shit for a long time because mediocrity seems to be their modus operandum, but
I don't think the owners want this. The owners would not have given Brad Treliving the go-ahead to go out and get freaking Huberdeau and make these bold moves that we all loved. Every one of us loved him when it happened, right? We all did.
The only thing I didn't love, and this goes for any player that does this, I think it's naive to sign a superstar player to a long-term big money deal when he's never played a game for your team in your city. I really think that's irresponsible. I do think Huberdeau, for example, will be much better next year. I don't have any issues.
He will.
No question about any of that to me, but I don't agree. It's same thing with free agency. Obviously that happens all the time. Like, I just don't like that. Well, he's never played in this conference. It's a new city. He's got to move his family. Like, this
and I agree.
It's not re-signing with the Panthers, right? Like, it just, to me, it's like, okay, let him get 20 games into the season, maybe, and then start talking contracts.
I don't disagree with you on that, Kyle. But with the way the situation was in Calgary, you have to agree there was some extenuating circumstances. And I'm not saying that's the justification to it, because you know what? Honestly, if I was a GM, I would never sign a player to over 5 years. It'd just be my rule. I'm never signing anybody, because it never goes good after 5 years. I can think of one contract in my life, is Alexander Ovechkin's, that aged good. That's the only one after 5 years that anybody was happy with.
Crosby's?
Yep, you got me there. There's another one. Yep.
And then
the two generational players.
We're talking about a once in a lifetime type talent. It doesn't work like it works with franchise players, and that's it. It doesn't work with superstar players if we're going to use that kind of tiered system, right? So I get it in the sense that the market's the market, and you got to lock these guys up. Like, and for that reason, it didn't bother me a lot. But realistically, it's not a good move to just, you know, like, one date, let's get married.
That's a good analogy. I agree. And I'm not arguing that. But then I sit and I look, Kyle, and I'm not trying, and I know I've thought a ton about this, and I'm usually the most negative person in the frickin' world.
Yeah, then you met me.
And then I met Kyle and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, this guy's more negative than me. I don't know why. Something clicked in me the other day, and I just started looking at this and I'm just like, I think we're, as a fan base, looking at this completely wrong. I can't remember who said it. Obviously this is arguable because there's no way to scientifically pinpoint this, but they figured that if our goaltending was average, just NHL average right now, we would have 8 to 10 more points.
We would have at least, I don't know what.
Okay, well that puts us from 60.
We would have 10 for sure.
We're in first place then.
There's no way it would be. That's only 5 wins. You can't tell me our goaltenders haven't cost us more than 5 games.
So arguably it could be more. We would be the number one team in the Western Conference.
Okay.
But then Kyle.
It is funny how much the West is so much worse than the East, by the way, and the East is loading up.
Which is weird because a decade ago it was the exact opposite.
It was so the opposite. Yeah. Absolutely. It was. Absolutely.
And it'll go back. It'll go back.
Oh, yeah, and that's fine. And I want to point out, just because everybody knows this and has been talking about it, I guess, is like, it's such a shame that so many good teams are going to eliminate so many good teams in the first round. I don't like the format discussion day.
We'll talk about that another. We'll argue another day.
Yeah. Well, we get into the playoffs and, you know, we need something to talk about other than the Flames, it looks like. But, there's no question this team is not that bad. My argument about what to do going into Friday is solely based on look at some of the returns these other teams are getting. And I do think the players that the Flames theoretically have available, so potentially Noah Hanifin, a vet like Trevor Lewis, who's won a few cups, you know, those things that teams really value. If you're Brad Treliving, if you trade off these guys and get a really good return, it's like, I don't know that you're necessarily impacting your playoff chances a lot by moving some of these bodies, because as we've seen with guys like Walker Duehr, they've been much better than some of the other players, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can make good trades to move on from certain players you can't cut the team. Look at the term and contract for Huberto and Kadri and Uyghur and Markstrom. Like, we know that's not possible. But I think you have to look at selling all the pieces you have that other teams find attractive, which is probably 4 or 5 players, because it's not going to set you that far back.
If you get top dollar for them.
And I think they will, based on, like I said, what's going on. Like, it is wild.
But that's got to run out, though, Kyle.
Janot going to Tampa?
But it's
fucking crazy.
it is, but here's why that's crazy. Because Tampa thinks that's their one thing that fills the hole, so they're okay to overpay because they've been winning cups. It's okay to overpay if you're winning cups.
Absolutely. Same with the Bruins, right?
Like, exactly.
I don't think they overpaid for
Orlov.
For Orlov or Hathaway.
But I don't either.
Orlov 2 goals last night. Like, I mean, are you kidding me?
And now, you know, Kyle, I know you think I'm crazy on this, and we went back and forth here the last few days, and that's
not on this, just in general.
Yeah. But, and I'm not trying to sound like the eternal optimist, because I'm actually not the most optimistic person. Usually I struggle to be optimistic. But here's the thing. Like, this team can go into full sellout mode, which I think would be idiotic, because they're too good to do that. Second thing, are we going to make the playoffs? I don't know. Maybe. We can talk about that more in a minute. But So what do you do? What do you do if you're Brad Treliving heading into Friday? And there's two options. And here's and I think you know, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and I want to hear your take. I would go about it this way. I would look for a depth defenseman just because I feel like we need somebody because of injuries, right? Just to finish the season out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, I would not go crazy and go sell off prospects or picks for a winger. I wouldn't do any of those things. I wouldn't do any of those things. The team hasn't shown me that I'm going to reward them, so I wouldn't. But what I would do is this. Would I sell off? No. But would I listen to every single offer? And I'm telling you, Kyle, I'd listen to offers on Hanifin. I would actually go out looking for offers on Hanifin and Zadorov. I would entertain offers on Dubé. I'd entertain offers on Mangiapane. I would be hesitant, but I would probably entertain offers on Toffoli. I'd like to see how that rides out next year. Honestly, he's my one guy I might ride out. But if somebody gave me something super good, we're doing it. Now, I would try to re-sign, not now, obviously, but in the offseason, I'd look at getting, you know, Dewar locked up, Peltier's, Backlund.
Two best players last night for the Flames. Yep. Mom and Dewar and Peltier. They were fantastic.
Backlund and Lindholm have to stay Flames. I think they're key parts.
Yep.
And I'm all over the place with Tanev. Tanev's a guy that I want to keep because I love Tanev. But I also look at him and I'm like, he gets injured a lot.
Well, then he has the type of intangibles,
yes,
and defensive metrics that other teams are absolutely drooling over. For
a you trend. Might get a haul, and I'm not saying before deadline I don't think you get a haul, because I think that's not in people's plans right now. But I think in the offseason you could get a haul. But is it a guy, though, that you want to build with? Maybe. But are you worried about his age? Because I'm a little bit worried about it.
I'm a little bit worried about the age of this team, and that's where that comes into play too, right?
So I was until I saw a metric on that earlier this year that we're like upper third, but we're not like the oldest in the league. I mean,
no, and that's fine. But my point is, like, you know, you have an opportunity to sell off. And we got to be careful with the word sell, because that implies, even when I used it on Twitter and I was in a foul mood, but when you talk about selling, it makes it sound like you're selling the whole farm.
No,
all the guys you mentioned that you keep. So we're not going to be as combative as maybe we thought here. I agree, like Lindholm, Backlund, Anderson is obviously a
keeper. Well, he's signed. He's signed.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's got a very palpable cap hit, so somebody's probably going to call on him, I would think.
I would not even entertain it.
I wouldn't either, unless it's something insane, which probably isn't going to happen. But all these other pieces that we're discussing, and some of them are fairly key players like Dubé, Mangiapane, Hanifin at points, trading them for a good return, even if it's picks and prospects, to me, it doesn't gut your team in the future. Like, look at a guy like Jeremy Poirier with the Wranglers. He's having a fantastic first pro season. I think he's going to be closer than maybe people had realized, especially as he's working on his defensive game. Matthew Coronado is going to get signed. If we trade like a Lewis or a Lucic, I don't want to see Lewis gone from Calgary because we share the same last name, but I know he's got to go.
He won't be here next year either, so...
What's that?
I don't think he'll be here next year, so why?
No, he won't.
If
he
someone
won't.
Will he give us some.
A chance at the cup, you know, he's a great teammate and he deserves another shot at the cup, which doesn't look like it's going to happen in Calgary. So, but I think if you move on from those certain players, you can start looking towards the summer as to how you want to retool this team, which is kind of a bad word in Calgary because they've always retooled. Remember when Jay Feaster acquired Mike Camilleri again and said, "Oh, we're going for it." They went for nothing. They missed the playoffs. It was a joke, right?
Yeah. So
the language is a little bit off-putting.
You know one thing, I know Treliving's been under a ton of fire, but you know what? If you look at the moves from our previous few GMs and then you compare them to Treliving's, come on, guys. Treliving's done a really good job.
He's done a fantastic job. It's just unfortunate the things he's done haven't panned out the way he hoped because things like goaltending have completely sunk them.
God, I keep putting that in my head. We're in first place if we get a few saves.
And they're not, like, they're saves that, you know, I made a joke yesterday about Joey McDonald. I made a joke a week ago about Tyrone Garner. There's a lot of these saves that these journeyman, Mike McKenna-type pro goaltenders who weren't anything special, they're making those saves. Average goaltending is what we're looking for. The kind of goaltending we got from Kari Ramo and Jonas Hiller. The kind of goaltending, like, we don't need another Kiprusoff with this team. It would be nice.
Well, I know.
But all we need is just be decent, and they can't even pull that off, and that's why it's so infuriating. And it's not, and again, the whole child discussion about Markstrom, there's probably some merit in that, as you said. But Vladar has been terrible too. How is it that both these goaltenders have been so terrible?
I mean, there's no way me and you are going to be able to say this. And I mean, I'm throwing a freaking dart at the wall with Markstrom and the kid thing. I'm literally just throwing a dart and trying to go off like how I personally felt when my children were born. It gives you a high. Yeah, well, it gives you a rush.
Which is, yeah, obviously I can't relate to that at this point in my life or so far in my life, but I mean, I get that. The only issue I had with that reasoning or excuse is that people on Twitter were jumping on saying, oh, this must be it. Like, this is the problem.
We have no idea.
He could have some kind of PTSD. He could be OCD. Like, there's all kinds of different things that we at this point believe are, you know, mental health issues or some sort of a mental issue that's causing him to play so poorly. So I just want to be careful when we discuss those things, because some guys are like, oh, well, that's what it is. Like, that's not fair. Like,
we have no idea, and we don't have any idea what's wrong with Vladar either. But you know what? I know Vladar's a good goalie. He's showed that to us. But you know what I see there is that sometimes when a role changes for a guy, things don't always go the way they used to go.
Well, let's draw a direct comparison here, at least in my mind. David Rittich had
perfect
tons of potential. And he had like what was he, like 29-9 in the 18-19 season? Like, he was brilliant. Smith started in the playoffs against Colorado and was actually really good. The team gets shelled, and they tried to press Rittich into more starts and didn't pan out. Now he's probably one of the better backups in the league with Connor Hellebuck. But Dan Vladar right now looks a lot like David Rittich, like very talented. But is he going to pan out as a starter or even a 1A, 1B type goalie? I don't know, but he's another one that – hey, if somebody's calling, and maybe it's a team like the Leafs, because there's some questions about their goaltending after the litany of moves they've made, I'd look at moving him too, because you know you're going to have Markstrom. You're hopeful that Wolf's going to pan out. I like Vladar. I'd like to keep him, but I'd be listening to trades on him too.
I would be listening. I'm just afraid now that your return wouldn't be what he's probably worth to us right now. Because I have a real hard time believing that, and I'm not saying I want to do this, but let's say we just stood pat, did nothing, went into next season with this same group for the most part. We lose a few pieces, none of them which are key. Does it go like this next year? No, it doesn't go like this next year. There's no way. There's just no way.
See, conversely, I just don't see how this gets better. These goaltenders have been terrible because that's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's night that they play. It's like, oh, tonight's tonight. It's better. Today is the day. It's better. It's never getting better is what it seems like. So what's going to change?
So you think next year though, that Markstrom and Vladar are going to show up and let in first goals like this?
I think it's possible. I don't know. I don't know that I'd want to start into the season with them as a tandem. I'm not saying get rid of them both necessarily, or not that, again, that you could, but it's like, I think you have to look at everything. And obviously there's got to be something we don't know. I'll tell you right now, and I hate to say this because I don't like to throw people under the bus necessarily, but I am all for changing the goalie coach
situation. Me too, and I hate firing just to fire, but this, something's not right.
No, and even if it's not right, it's the same as any other coach. Like, Bruce Cassidy getting let go by the Bruins was just stupid. So now he's going to be a rock star in Vegas. It's a great season. And Jim Montgomery obviously has got a world-class team in Boston. But coaches, they just move on from them. But they only seem to do it, like in the media at least, or we only hear a lot about head coaches, assistant coaches, that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, maybe these goalies just need a new voice. Like, I remember David Marcoux did a really good job in Calgary. Like, what is going on with the goaltending in Calgary is not acceptable. It's not a pro-level hockey. It's every goalie has ups and downs.
But I'm sorry for butting in on the other. I honestly thought we would get a press release today that LaBarber was let go. I honestly did. And, you know, and who knows, maybe that doesn't solve it. But, like, right now, like, we got to do something. We got to do something.
It's different, too, because these guys, like, it's not like when you and I get let go and, like, here's your 2 weeks' pay or here's what we owe you for years of service, and it's a pithy amount of money. Most of these guys, from what I understand, have contracts. They're going to be paid out because of said contract. So as bad as I feel morally about saying somebody should lose a job, at the same time, they're looked after a lot more than your IR. And the business that they're in,
It's
Jason LaBarbera is going to find a job somewhere probably by the summer, whether he's an assistant, whether he's a head goalie coach again. Like, so that kind of, I'm not just here to try and push any more than you are that somebody should be just let go, but they need, clearly both goaltenders need a new voice. It was just Markstrom. I don't know, but after watching Dmitry Orlov look like Bobby Orlov, I'm like, oh, okay, that's enough. Like,
yeah, no, there's something wrong. But maybe my pushback is too strong. Like, I refuse to think that Jacob Markstrom's career is done. Something's not right. I don't know what it is.
Again, he's too deep in his net. I mean, not so much last night, but like so many games, he hasn't looked like himself at all. So something has to change there, given the, you know, the term that he's on and the position with the team. He's not going anywhere. So figure it out. And clearly we're not going to figure out with the staff we have in place now, because there'd be some kind of a change by now.
So I'm not trying to like beat a dead horse here, but I look at the standings, Kyle, and I can't help but think that we can't catch Seattle. And I know they have everybody's like, well, they have the easiest schedule left in the league, and they do. But I just look at it and I'm like, I can't help but believe that we can't catch somebody. And you know what? Here's another one that people are going to think I'm crazy as hell. They're for sure going to think I'm crazy after this show today. But Edmonton goes out and gets rid of Tyson Barrie, which 2 years ago he was junk. And I would have said, that's great. But this year he's actually playing good, and then they get rid of him. And they bring in Ekholm, and it's everything I've ever said that Edmonton needs in a strong defensive defenseman. But now you just took the power play specialist that has the number one power play in the league, and you took the head guy off of it.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, and I get it. It also speaks to the fact that Nashville is like, not entirely out of it, because they wanted somebody like Barrie in return.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it anyway. That's why this trade happened. But,
I mean, can we catch the Oilers? You think that's crazy?
I think it's insane, because they have two of the best players in the world. That's just not going to happen, in my mind. That's the problem I have.
With high points.
That's the whole thing about thinking Calgary can catch Seattle. Why would anybody think that? Calgary cannot win hockey games right now. Their goaltenders can't stop a puck.
So. We've managed 72 points with the crappiest goaltenders in the league. Since All-Star break, we've had a less than .85 save percentage and have managed to get points.
But now we're counting on other teams to falter. Calgary decided, apparently, that they didn't want to control their own fate, because that's the position they're in now.
I know that, and that's where we're at because of our goaltending. But if we could just get a .88.
That's sad.
Think about that, though, Kyle. So, I don't know. I think we can beat some of these teams. And I guarantee you right now that if somehow, some way, this team gets into the playoffs, every team's like, well, shit, I don't want to play Calgary.
Yeah, we've said that a few times, yeah. I think at this point, based on the goaltending, and I'm seeing that people thought I was crazy a few weeks ago, and likely still do, but I'm seeing so many people clamoring for Dustin Wolf now. And I'm gonna get on that bandwagon just for a second, and here's why. So I always think of this one in particular, God knows why, but Johan Hedberg, when he came with Pittsburgh, went like 7-1-1. They made the playoffs, they won around with him. Andrew Hammond in Ottawa. That hamburger season. Like, goaltenders are so fickle and so all over the map, but based on the results we're getting from our two guys, and you have a guy who's a blue chip, unbelievable prospect. And I get all that talk to a point about, oh, it's going to ruin his confidence. He's a pro athlete. Like, fuck off. Like, eventually he's going to need a chance. This isn't going to be like Roberto Luongo in New York or something like that. Like, if they were to recall him,
okay,
and he comes in and they win a tight game 2-1 or something, and they just run with him, maybe he goes on a crazy tear and they do make the playoffs.
And maybe. But I don't want him coming in having to be the savior. Now, Dan Vladar blows a hammy out tomorrow night, and Wolf gets called up, and they give him the keys to go play a game, and he wins, and then, oh, here, we'll give you another try. We'll win again, and he wins again, and then he takes over there. The pressure's not on him to be the savior then. He's getting called up because some dude got hurt.
Well, it doesn't matter. So, like Calgary, they're going to expect him to be the savior anyway, because there's so much hype around him. They're just going to keep talking about that.
The fan base. That's not in the room.
Well, nobody in the room is going to put that kind of pressure on the kid. They just expect him to stop the puck. That's his job, right?
I know what you're saying, but I don't know. What happens though if he comes up and gets shelled lets in the first shot and lets in five. Like, then what? Then it's like, well, fuck, now our prospect sucks. Well, which it wouldn't be the case because it's just one game. But you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
yeah, but I mean, look, remember Marc-Andre Fleury when he started in Pittsburgh and he got lit up because they started him as like an 18-year-old when he came out of Cape Breton? Like, he had a really rough start to his career and he figured it out. I'm not saying everybody has the same trajectory, obviously. The guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, but with Dustin Wolf, it's like.
I know.
It's similar to what you said about Markstrom. Next year is a new season. I think Wolf would approach it the same way.
You know? And I don't, Kyle, and I don't disagree. I don't.
I just think it's funny now that everybody's kind of like, we need to recall Wolf and Trimone. I'm like, you know what?
They've been saying that forever, though. People last year.
Now there's a lot more people who wouldn't say before are saying it because our goaltending has been so terrible. So unless there's somebody in a scrap heap somewhere in the league.
I'm freaking fine with bringing in Cam Talbot right at the moment.
There's a dub on him lately.
If we traded for Cam Talbot tomorrow, I'd be like, perfect.
Why would Ottawa trade him is my question.
I don't know. But I hear it all over, though.
That's a team, I think Derek Brassard had said, you know, we feel like we've earned, you know, having something added. That's a team I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs.
No, I wouldn't either.
They have a great mix of talent there, so. But
except the East is different than the West this year, and Ottawa going into the playoffs playing the Rangers would be, you know, do you know what I'm saying? It's just a different mindset out there right now. If Calgary was in the East, we'd be talking a whole different ball game right now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You know, I think even teams like the Rangers, I mean, just to touch on them, like, yeah, you know, like Kane and Panarin are back together and they've got Zibanejad and they got Adam Fox and Shuster. Like, they got a ton of talent, but man, you know, the Lightning losing four straight to the Blue Jackets a few years ago. Like, there's just so many examples of elite looking teams face planting, and I could see the Rangers doing that. Leafs, like, Leafs Nation, which is my most hated fan base by a country mile, is losing their mind, and they're saying Kyle Dubas should be GM of the Year. The Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a playoff round since I was 16 years old.
Well, you know what? And that's the
thing. How can you say he's GM of the Year when they have won absolutely nothing?
But I don't want our fan base to be that way, right?
Of course.
I mean, we're having a struggle bus this year, and it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not real fun to turn the TV on or go to the game or anything right now. It's kind of like, ugh. But
yeah.
I look at this team and I look at some of the positives that there has been. And I think, man, you know, it is what it is and where we are where we are. And, you know, are we likely to make the playoffs? Probably not. But you know what? Either I'm going to look really fucking smart if we make the playoffs and go on a run, or I'm going to look really dumb, which there's a whole hell of a lot better chance I'm going to look dumb this year. But, I mean, I know you well enough that if this team gets into the playoffs, you're going to come on this show and be like, I was wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong.
Oh, yeah, and I'll be on a flight to Calgary for a playoff game again. There's no question.
It's, you know? It's just one of those things, Kyle. It's like I look at this year, and I look at the Western Conference, and I'm like, it's so open still.
It is, but again, it's just – they have to stop pissing games away night after night after night. Like, they are not winning. We have not won any amount of games in a row for so long. And if they don't go on a tear here, these conversations are you're going to be at where I'm at. I'm like, they're done. They're absolutely done.
Kyle and I probably will be calling you one of these nights saying they're done.
I don't look forward to that. I think
I'm prepared for that. But I look at this
team. Like, people were saying they should have been better than last year based on the acquisitions. So I don't know if that was entirely fair, but the fact that was even out there, and now we're like, oh my God, league worst goaltending, they missed the playoffs. And also, for the record, people calling me out saying, oh, like, the following teams have way worse goaltending than Calgary. No, they don't, because it's all relative. This is a team with high expectations, and their goaltenders are playing so well below what they're capable of. They are categorically the worst goaltenders in professional hockey right now, at least in the NHL. So I don't want to hear about what your team's doing, because it is not influencing their results the way that it is in Calgary. Not a chance.
This is a goaltending problem, and I'm not just pointing the finger solely at goaltending, because there is some other things that I think we've been a little bit sloppy defensively. As much as our blue line looked good on paper, they haven't performed where they should be, and we've got a couple key forwards. Yes, I'm talking Jonathan Huberdeau, and you know, there's a few of them that have not produced this year that we needed to. But all in all,
Kadri's been junk lately.
But all in all, if you look at how many goals we're putting up per game, no, we're not a top team in the league, but we are not a crappy team in the league at that either.
Yeah. But look at all those one goal losses.
I know. It's astronomical. It's
gotta be
unreal.
It's got to be.
It's unreal. Yeah. And I don't know. I can't believe that for once I'm the eternal optimist on this. And I'm not calling you stupid for saying we're done, because I'm probably right. And I don't disagree that in tomorrow, if I pull up my Twitter today and I see that Hanifin was traded or something, I'm not probably going to be mad unless I look at it and go, well, that sucks because we got no return. And if we start selling off guys and we're not getting proper returns, I am going to be mad.
Yeah, in this market, I'd find that hard to believe. And Brad Tree Living is, like as you said, a very good GM.
He is.
I've actually looked at Twitter here a few times to see if anything's happened. But they're going to do some things on by Friday. I don't know what they are any more than the next person, but I think the market's just too hot to completely ignore what's out there. So I think they're going to move a few pieces, maybe bring in some interesting pieces in return, and maybe they go on a little bit of a run and make something of this. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting summer, to say the least.
It is definitely going to be interesting. Kyle and I will be back 1 minute just to recap what we got four games this week. Another busy week for the Flames.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, so I'm going to roll with this one if you don't mind.
Yes.
Because I'm looking at it here right now. So we got the Leafs tomorrow night. So that's a home game that's not going to feel like a home game. If you've ever been in your team's bar when the Leafs are there.
Yeah, or the Habs. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, so that's not going to be a lot of fun. But
this is a whole new Leafs team.
Well, and that might work to their advantage as they try to work the bugs out. That team has changed a lot, so there's hopefully they can pull something out there. And for the record, I go with Markstrom after the way he showed against Boston.
So do I. I do.
I never thought I'd say that, but let's hope that's the case, and I suspect it will be.
And played the Leafs good earlier this year, lost 5-4 in overtime.
The last handful of games between Calgary and Toronto have been fantastic hockey games. Every one's been probably top five game of the year that I've watched.
Yeah, they have.
So the biggest game of the year to date, which we're going to say that a lot, of course, is the Wild on Saturday. That's, of course, Hockey Night in Canada. Minnesota, one of the teams Calgary's chasing. So that is going to be something to watch, especially if they can get by the Leafs tomorrow night. That makes that game a whole lot bigger.
Yep.
Then we get the Stars on Monday, which we're going to, kind of throw back to last
year. That one's on the road. We head to Dallas for that one. And that is our second of three meetings with them.
Yep. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Like, they actually played them quite well. And then we got the Wild again, this time in Minnesota on Tuesday, which is another, that will then be the biggest game of the year.
They're all big now, man. But we're seven back of Minnesota. We play them twice in the next four games.
Yep.
We could move 4 points there. Now, is it likely? Probably not, but I don't know. I'm not ready to wave the towel. I might be next time we talk, Kyle, but I'm not right now.
I'm trying to prepare myself for the epic amount of disappointment I'm going to feel when this is over, and I believe what I'm saying, but I'm looking at the standings here now, and of course, I want all these Canadian teams to get in, even the Oilers, just for the fun of it. But I mean, you get Winnipeg, Edmonton, Seattle, and you get Colorado's, they're going to get in. They've only played 58 games. They're healthier now, Yeah, they're too good.
Can I throw something crazy at you? Is there a chance that Dallas falls out of this? They've hit the They've hit the tailspin here.
Yeah,
not likely.
They actually have the same amount of overtime shootout losses as the Flames at 13. The next closest in the league is Philly San Jose with 12, which isn't really surprising. And then you get Philly with 10 in the East.
And Ottinger looked like garbage last night.
Oh, my Lord. So let's take the lower number of those 13 shootout overtime losses and say six of them are wins. Six more points puts you at 73 points. You're third in the Pacific.
Yeah, I know. That's the minimum.
That's where I'm really going to point, where I don't think anywhere has been bigger felt the absence of Johnny Gaudreau than in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much shootouts necessarily, but in overtime. Like, He was so much the straw that stirred this team's drink, and like lots of all those losses to stack up. But yeah, think of that. 13 games they've lost in those circumstances. You take six of those and make them wins. This is a totally different discussion. Less than half.
And that's like, Kyle, that's not counting the first shot you let in.
That's what I mean. Like these counting stats were, and this is why we come back to if they somehow get in, I wouldn't want to play them.
I would not either.
Man.
Do you know, Kyle? Okay, and I know there's a lot of differences, and we kind of went back and forth on this last night. In 04, nobody remembers the regular season.
I do only because I have a book that, you know, kind of chronologizes it and goes on about it and whatever, but yeah.
I know, but seriously, that team loses in round one. No one talks about that season at all.
I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody remembers, and I watch these games and I'm feeling down because they make me feel better. If Todd Bertuzzi hadn't been suspended for what he did to Steve Moore, Calgary does not win that first round series. They only won it in seven in overtime. And Dan Cloutier, not that he was anything special, but he was out and Alex Auld had the net. But if Bertuzzi wasn't suspended, Calgary does not win that series, and they don't go on that magical run. Jeff Sanderson, and this is where I feel because Jeff Sanderson's son Jake is becoming a star in Ottawa now.
Yeah, played at the University of North Dakota.
Well, there you go, right? Phenomenal defenseman. Jeff Sanderson stepped into that top line with Naslund and Brendan Morrison in Bertuzzi's absence. They did a very admirable job, but again,
he was old.
Circumstances, little things, yeah. Circumstances, little things that, you know, can rewrite history. That Bertuzzi suspension is the only reason that Calgary won that series. And then four years later, Bertuzzi.
Is it likely we get in? No, but. God dang it. There's
if you're right about this Markstrom thing, and it looked like he might have been last night because anything that happened to him was not his fault. If he can get on some kind of a tear, like, man, pull a Brian Boucher and rattle off five straight shutouts, I'll eat crow. I don't care.
So let me ask you a question. I know you'll eat crow because I'll eat crow. I'll be, you know, if they lose out, I'm ready to come on the show and say I was wrong. Yeah. Here's something I got a question, and then we'll wrap this thing. Do you go into the locker room and say, you know, Jacob, it's been a roller coaster. We're super happy for your family now. This is a reset button. The keys are yours. Give us your best shot.
Why not?
What do you have to lose, right?
More hockey games.
Well, you know what I'm saying though, like.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree. I mean, I'm big on saying the right things and trying different things and saying different things. Like, try it. This team is too good to be in the position they're in, but it's the one they're in. So whatever you can think to do to try and pull them into this tailspin and actually string together more than one win in a fucking row, then you do it.
Kyle, I thought about it last night, and I thought after the first period, I thought how hard as a coach would it be to not go into the room and fucking kick a trash can and be like, can you motherfuckers make a save?
I was trying to find the clip of John Tortorella talking about John Graham in 2006. He was like, you know, we need a fucking save once in a while, whatever he says. And I couldn't find it. I know it'd be probably part of the rants on YouTube, but I just wanted that one piece. And it's so true. Like Mark Ford, Letterkenny style, just boot that trash can across the room because it's killing them. And it's brutal because if they make those saves, they should. Egregious, stupid errors like Zadorov's in the Bruins game doesn't mean as much.
No. Nope.
But because you can't get a routine save, ripping on the big Russian defenseman for throwing a massive hit, which was a dumb play. Goaltenders are not bailing these guys out ever, and it is maddening.
No, and the players have bailed the goaltenders out a couple times, 6-5 against Dallas win.
Well, you know, did it last night up until they lost. So.
And, man, I don't know. And I feel, you know what, I honestly really, truly feel bad for both these guys because I know it's killing them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it sucks. You know, have you ever performed poorly, anything you've done in your life, whether it's a sport, a job, whatever, relationship? Like, yeah, it makes you feel like crap. You take pride in the things that you enjoy and try to take care of business, and you just can't do it for whatever reason. Ugh.
Kyle and I are back next Thursday for another edition of Flames Unfiltered, Friday deadline day. We're going to be out there. I'll do a Flames Unfiltered shorts that day. We'll talk about whatever's going on. We'll keep you posted on Twitter. Kyle and I will both be active Friday on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
I have no idea what's going to happen. And I guess
I'm excited. Let's discuss some things we can do on that day because we're going to be very active on social media throughout the day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's gonna be fun.
We will be out there. You'll be able to find us, flamesunfiltered.com, YouTube, all the places, Twitter. Kyle and I will be there breaking down the deadline. And, yeah, we're back for a normal show next Thursday. Leafs come to town tomorrow night already. We just need a win. God, we just need a save. Have a good week, Flames fans. And, yeah, we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The wind comes! Playoffs! Yeah, baby! Playoffs! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.